97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome in here on a Thursday morning. We're happy you're with us. It's dry outside. You're having a better morning than you were just 24 hours ago. So we're happy that that you're here with us this morning. And Kim St. Ange here with me, along with Ethan Bright. And I was just laughing because I was out there trying to rush into the studio again. And I forgot to go get my stuff off the printer. What a day yesterday for Denny Hoskins. Did you see that, Kim? Did you see the fact that he won a couple of victories in Cole County, which is pretty shocking in and of itself?
As soon as I heard Cole County, I thought, uh-oh, this has not been good historically.
We're going to be in trouble. Generally speaking, they tend to judge shop down there because it's in Jeff City, and they often have the left that is a lot of luck against Republicans. This is going to end up in the Supreme Court. It's not over yet. But a judge denied that bid to let voters challenge Missouri's new congressional maps, right? And then he also determined that that initiative petition was not constitutional. So you've got a couple of wins here. It will be immediately appealed to an appeal court. And then they'll have to hurry up and make a decision. Who knows which way that'll go? And then it's going to go to the Supreme Court. And, you know, here's the thing about it. As you're tuning in this morning, we'll talk about this more just a little bit later. And, you know, here's the deal. I've made my point on Amendment 4. I know people have strong opinions on that. At the end of the day, if we don't control the initiative petition process, this is going to continue over and over and over again. And I've been thinking about this since yesterday because I think it's an important point. Do you know what the Missouri plan is, Kim?
Mm-mm.
A friend reminded me about this yesterday, that the Missouri plan is, of course, how members are appointed to the courts in Missouri. And they come through the recommendation of the Missouri Bar Association, and then they get picked from those candidates, and then they get placed on the bar. And do you know how the Missouri plan originated? It was a citizen initiative petition. Because once again, they realized, they're pretty sharp over there on the left side of the political spectrum, that if they could control the courts, they can control the process, whether they control the legislature or not. So a long time ago, they put this plan in place where they have the very, very liberal bar association having a say on who these judge candidates are. Maybe not the final pick, but the pool of candidates. Once you narrow it down to that, there are a lot fewer choices. So the odds of people with any common sense or conservative principles getting in there start to diminish fairly quickly. So we will get our say in the Missouri Supreme Court, but the Missouri Supreme Court is a direct result of the Missouri plan, and a lot of the people on it represent that point of view. So, you know, I don't know. I'm encouraged that Denny Hoskins won a couple of rounds yesterday. I was waiting for another photo of him on the Capitol steps with a baseball bat, and I didn't see that, but who knows what's going to happen next? I'm not promising we're going to have luck all the way to all the way to the Supreme Court. So that's what we have to wait on next. We'll see how that turns out. We are watching what the president's going to do today on Iran. It looks like he got a victory on those Canadian tariffs. I don't know if you were watching that yesterday or not. We're having that discussion, right? And I said it was just about leveling the playing field. And then the president came out and announced, guess what? We're not paying any more tariffs to Canada. It worked. All of this belly aching about, oh, there are friendly neighbors to the north. They're Canada nice. Out the window.
It's funny how just Trump threatening stuff like this, how effective that's been.
Out the window.
You have to wonder, though, if this is really going to be effective when it comes to Iran. Because he just came out and said, you know, this next attack's going to be the biggest one ever. And we've heard that same rhetoric before. And do you actually think, I know how you're going to answer this question, do you actually think he would carry that out?
Well, I do, but I thought what he said was it's going to be an economic attack.
Well, he threatened that too, but I thought he was also suggesting like an actual physical attack, a ground attack.
Have you, because I sit around with time on my hands and I think about these things, and I think and I think and I think some more. And then I think to myself, what would I do if I was commander in chief right now with what's going on in the Strait? And this is why I'd probably never be elected president, because I would tell them, if you want to call it a negotiation or a warning, that every time a drone hits a ship in the Strait of Hormuz, we're taking out a bridge. We're not telling you which one. It'll be the bridge of our choosing. And a power plant. A bridge and a power plant will disappear for every drone that flies against a ship in the Strait of Hormuz. And I'll bet you about 2 days into that, there would be no more drones flying at ships in the Strait of Hormuz. They would gain control over whatever faction within the Iranian Guard is causing this problem.
See, that because that'd be very effective, and I feel like that sounds like something Trump would do. You have to then wonder why he hasn't done that. Is there something we don't know that complicates that?
I wish I had a good answer for that. I really do. Hey, coming up today, you know, the other day we were talking about the Missouri Gaming Commission. That report came out. Some agency was critical of the Gaming Commission for, you know, when that initiative petition was passed, it generated $5 million a year had to go into a pot to help people with gaming addictions. And somebody went and looked at it the other day and realized that they've only spent about $600,000 this year of that $500,000, and
$5 million, yeah.
And they're demanding to know why. Why didn't you do more about this? Well, why did you pass gaming if you knew it was that addictive? It's just a question I threw out. But in our discussion of that, we caught the attention of the Missouri Gaming Commission, and we're going to get their executive director on this morning to talk a little bit more about this, because they're taking a lot of criticism over this for not just running out and hiring some, I guess, existing counseling service and just handing them the money and saying, here, go treat people if they have addiction. And that's not the path that they chose. So a little later, Mike Lehrer is going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour to talk a little bit more about that. So
should be interesting.
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm glad they reached out, though.
Yeah, me too.
I'm
happy to have the conversation. Like I said, I have no problem with gay. If you're an adult, you want to gamble, I have no problem with that. I personally have never had much luck at it. The few times I've tried it, I have not. I'm just not into sports enough to pay attention to all that stuff. I bet with my heart and not my head. Maybe I need some of that $5 million, but I'm not addicted to it because I always lose. I just don't do it for you. I don't care if you do it. I was upset at the time at the way the campaign was handled, period. End of discussion. Now that it's passed, that's water under the bridge. So we'll have him on. We'll talk about that later. Griff Jenkins, of course, Jim Talent, he would be a good person to ask that question to, Kim. The president keeps making these threats. Why hasn't he followed through on them?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll ask Jim Talon about that this morning, also in the 7 o'clock hour. So that's going to be a big hour for us right now, though. Ethan, let's go ahead and get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist, presented by Rhino Shield.
So just recently joined DSA because there were some things, the majority of things that I'm supportive of. But just like I'm a Democrat, there are some things that I do not fully support within the Democratic Party, particularly right. Those corporate Democrats, right?
What a disaster. What a complete disaster. That was Angie Nixon talking. Angie Nixon's a community activist in Florida who somehow upset that cocky Alexander Vindman, who was running down there and thought Shuri would win. That guy turned my stomach when he was testifying in front of Congress. Thank God the Florida Democrats rejected him. And now they've handed us an easy victory in Florida because this lady promotes drag shows as wholesome entertainment. This won't even be a race.
And what the program does is it gives us a roadmap to revolution, and it gives us the obstacle that we finally will have to get over to have a revolution, which is the United States Constitution,
yeah.
Basis of the United States government.
Operation Let Them Speak. Let's put that guy on blast. Let's let that DSA member He's on the steering committee of the Democrat Socialists of America. Let him speak. Did you hear what he said? The Constitution is a barrier to them that they need to tear down. No, thank you.
Where DSA candidates won primaries for Congress, they're all Democrats. Yeah, you got three in New York, but you got two in Michigan. You got one in Colorado. You got one in Florida last night running for the Senate. And you got one in Pennsylvania. So this is not just a Northeast phenomenon.
And you got one in Florida. Although the DSA didn't specifically support her, she identifies, which is all that's important these days, as a member of the DSA.
We're paying tremendous tariffs into Canada, and those tariffs are going to be totally eviscerated, down to zero.
Ah, look at that. You can get your crown royal and all that stuff with no tariffs anymore. Everybody can breathe easily. You can get your maple syrup with no tariffs. You feeling good about that, Kim?
Could
you like maple syrup?
I do love. I actually was drinking spoonfuls of maple syrup the other day, and then I left it out on the counter, so my three-year-old was like, Mom, I want maple syrup. I'm cooking dinner. I turn around, he's drinking it out of the container like Buddy the Elf.
Have you ever had real maple syrup?
Not the
Aunt Jemima version.
Oh, Aunt Jemima's gross. You still get that?
Do they even still make it? I know they took her picture off the front of it.
That thick, nasty stuff is not good. I always get the real maple
syrup.
It's
real maple syrup.
Believe
it or not, and we got to get to a break here. Believe it or not, my cousins used to run the largest maple syrup, domestic maple syrup plant in America. It was many years ago. But I got to go up and actually see them tap the trees and get the maple. And that stuff is strong. It's so much different than what you get with this maple flavoring they put in some of these syrups. So, hey, it's tariff-free now if it's coming from Canada, eh? Thanks to President Trump. All right, quick break. Let's get to our national anthem. We're back in a minute. I'm smiling this morning. My music is back, ladies and gentlemen. A little AC/DC for you there. That'll wake you up, won't it? 5:22 in the morning, a little Back in Black.
I'm going to see them
September 8th. I'm very excited about that.
I'm sure your wife is thrilled.
Thank you.
So now you guys are commenting on the fact that you didn't hear the elevator music during the commercial break. All right. The situation is, I will do my best to put your elevator music on for those of you who like it, but it's a lot of button clicking for me, and I'm trying to do a bunch of things during the show and commercial breaks, and it gets to be kind of a lot because if I don't make sure I unclick it when Sue's talking or when I'm talking or when Mark's talking, then it's confusing because then you hear it underneath us, but then I have to make sure to go back, so it's complicated, I guess, is the only way to describe it.
Yeah, it's complicated. It's what I said yesterday. The whole thing is complicated. But now that we've cleared up the question of whether or not our music is streaming, and now it's not, we could go back to actually playing real music in and out of breaks, in my opinion. That's what I was after, and that makes me happy because I have a little influence over that. So there you go. Back to the decision. Kim is right about this. You have to understand what happened in Jeff City yesterday, and hopefully we can.
It's confusing.
It is complicated. Is a nice word for it. So on one hand, there are two different judge rulings here, two different court rulings. A judge said the Secretary of State had the right to block the ballot initiative, the citizens' petition, initiative petition. They're trying to get something on the ballot that would make it more difficult or impossible for lawmakers to change anything that the liberals happen to buy into the Constitution. They don't like the fact that a few years ago they were able to go back and the legislators and tweak how often the minimum wage would go up, or, you know, that strangling small businesses. The left doesn't care about that. They're the most selfish people in the world. They don't care. They got their initiative pushed through. Everybody who wanted to vote themselves a raise voted for it. It got put in the Constitution. The legislature went in and they're like, no, you can't. You're going to kill business. Nobody's going to come to the state if they know the wage they're having to pay is going up $1 an hour every year with no cap. You can't do that. It's economic suicide. So now they made another run at it to make sure the legislature can never do that again. And yesterday, a circuit judge, Daniel Green, said that Denny Hoskins was right for rejecting that because he said it did not follow the law. It doesn't follow the law in the state of Missouri that's a single, supposed to have a single issue on there. And for that reason, he said it violates the state's constitution. It was a 5-page ruling. It was pretty simple. That will immediately be appealed. The Secretary of State said he was simply honoring his oath to protect the Missouri Constitution. Thank you for doing that, Secretary Hoskins. Somebody's got to stand up. Now, the other case is the challenge to Missouri's redistricting. And again, the Secretary of State had decided that there's nothing in the Constitution that gives them the right to do that, to make it the subject of a voter referendum. And a Cole County judge agreed.
Same judge, actually.
Daniel Green. He agreed with Denny Hoskins yesterday and ruled against activist attorney Chuck Hatfield down in Jefferson City that Hoskins has the right to vote to block that because, again, it's not constitutional. The left doesn't care. They're just angry that Missouri's going to have another Republican congressman, as it should be. If you look at the map of Missouri, it should probably be an 8-0 map, to be quite honest with you. If they weren't protecting CD1, if they drew that the way it should be drawn, then that would also be a Republican seat. It would be a red seat. It would be an 8-1 map. You wouldn't have to deal with the loonies like Cori Bush anymore. Because common sense would take over in those cases. So anyway, what's happened with both those cases, they'll be appealed, and they're on a fast track because there's a September 8th deadline for a court for the court orders in order for it to be placed on the ballot if either of those decisions was to be overturned, which they might because of citizen-led initiative petitions, which stacked the Missouri courts with lefties. It's encouraging that Judge Green voted the correct way in both of these cases. Maybe that means there's just such common sense, even the higher-up judges won't be able to figure out a way around it. I don't know. But that was two big wins for the people yesterday. So that's good news this morning. Coming up, we will get to Kim on a Whim. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
A Detroit TV anchor has gone completely viral. It's not what she said on the air. It's what she said on camera that somehow got released. And you have to ask yourself, who released it? Because it certainly does not make her look very good. Though a lot of people are coming to her defense, saying, people have said this stuff before. She just happened to be in front of a camera. I want you to be the judge. Listen to what happened when this woman, again, this TV anchor in Detroit, was recording a PSA.
I can't wait for you to go through them all, and then I go through them, because then I'm already getting ready by then. But this time we had to do the PSAs, so. Finish what? Okay, because Sean just came in here and said something about marking off. Go ahead. I don't think you are. You're walking out really angry. Jeez, oh, Pete.
Woo. Little heated debate there, argument.
Yeah. How many times do I remember interactions like that? I mean, first of all, a newsroom is a stressful situation.
Yeah.
As you get closer to showtime. And producers have a lot going on in their heads. And if that was the executive producer she was talking to, executive producers are particular in the television news business. They are particularly protective of their turf. And their turf is, if they're good at their job, is they're the ones that have the ultimate responsibility, except maybe a Channel 4 these days, of being responsible for what's in the final script. Like, the script that goes to the anchors, they're the last ones to sign off on it to make sure it's okay, right? And clearly, this one was upset that they want all the anchors to make their changes first, and then if the EP wants to change it, they change it. My experience always was you can lead an anchor to copy, but you can't make him read it. So if I was really serious enough about disagreeing with them over something they inserted in the script, I'd just skip it. In this case, it's pretty clear this EP wanted her to go in and make her edits, and her argument was, I didn't have time to do that because I had to come in and do this first.
Mm-hmm.
You made me come in and cut this PSA. I'll have to do it when I'm done.
Well, then she was also mad that the scripts weren't done.
Yes.
That whoever was finishing them, EP or whatever, hadn't finished them yet.
So I empathize with the anchor's frustration. I also understand, and I know nothing about either of these two women, I also understand what the producer was trying to get at, that she was trying to finish up editing her scripts, but she needed this woman to be out of the script before she could edit it, probably. That's how our system used to work. If somebody else was in there actively editing a script, you couldn't get into it.
That was how it always was.
Okay, so I think maybe that's what caused this butting of heads.
Because you would get irritated saying, I need to make edits. Get out of my script, please, because I have 5 minutes before I have to be on the air, and they're refusing to get out of your script.
The difference here is this was not live, as you pointed out right off the top.
Yeah.
It was recorded.
Meaning someone leaked it.
We used to have an audio engineer. We called her D.D. Abo. She didn't want her real name put in the credits for some reason. And I always did my best. First of all, she was a wonderful lady. Still is a wonderful lady. She retired now. And I never wanted to piss her off because her hand was on the mic control. And at any time when you're having a conversation with your co-anchor on the set or whatever's going on and you're not supposed to be on camera, she could flip your mic up if she wanted to. And you'd be, whatever you were saying would be going out over the broadcast air. I mean, Ethan could do the same
thing
to us.
Ethan, you look really good.
If he wanted to. So
you
that's
look very
why,
nice.
Yeah, thank you. Look, you're looking great today, Ethan. Thank you. So you want to have a good relationship with those people. Clearly, at some point in her career, the anchor herself had been a witch with a B to somebody in that building, because that somebody took this recording and released it to the public.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, the public would never have heard that.
Well, the station let her go and says it was because of her unprofessional workplace behavior and her outbursts. Is how she
they
was,
fired was, her?
They fired her, but now
that's a shame.
Now, well, hold on. The anchor, Taryn Asher, is now suing the station for sex discrimination and retaliation. She was pulled from the air in November of last year, so it's been almost a year, but for whatever reason, this clip, I don't know if the person saved it and then just released it, or it's just making its rounds now, but there's so many people talking about this. And like I said, a lot of the people I've seen are saying, yeah, you know, I've had some scuffles with my coworkers or my boss. I just don't have a camera on me to, you know, have it recorded and then released all over the internet.
Well, it's feasible that this just happened to be the one that got recorded, and that happened a lot more often. I mean, because we don't know what all the allegations were against her. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she got fired after that incident, which happened to be recorded,
I think it was this incident. Do we really know for sure?
We don't know, but there are heated conversations that go on in newsrooms on a daily basis.
Any workplace, though.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be curious if other people experience this, because I've only worked, well, I guess I worked like a chiropractor's office, but it's really the only place I've worked professionally has been in a newsroom. And people curse there, and it's just very different than your typical workplace environment, I would venture to guess.
And I'm
curious if this stuff happens elsewhere.
And you've been in it since me, so I've been out of television news now for a number of years. But I also have the impression that there are a lot more snowflakes in the industry now because there's a new generation of people working in that industry. I'm watching the other morning, and I swear the kid reporting on some breaking news overnight must have been straight out of college. I mean, honestly, hadn't been out long. And good for you. You managed to make it to a good-sized market early on in your career, but you're still green at that point, right? But what you have is a new generation of kids that don't have a lot of experience in the business, and they've also been brought up in the everybody gets a trophy age, and they're going to be much more sensitive to criticism and fights and things. I mean, people had tough skin back in the day. You might argue with somebody heading into the newscast about this or that, and then afterwards you're going to have a beer with them. Mm-hmm. It was just different. It was just a different environment.
Yeah.
I think that's changed.
Yeah. You're probably right about that, too. Things have changed. I actually was caught in not the same situation because I wouldn't probably describe anybody like that. But obviously, I've been frustrated at different things that have happened. And I remember when I was working my first market in Des Moines, Iowa, I was out there live doing the morning show, and I was frustrated because one of the anchors who was filling in, who was my friend, had, I guess, changed the script, and I had no idea, and I couldn't hear out in the field, and so it made me look really stupid. And I remember, not on the air, I wasn't caught live in that regard, but I didn't realize that my mic was broadcasting throughout the entire studio. So I was frustrated, saying like, oh, this is so irritating. Why did she change this? Why can't she just stick to the script? Well, she heard that along with everybody in the studio.
No.
So that kind
of got her feelings
hurt. Kind of happened to me. I remember going and getting her an iced coffee, and I put it on her desk to try to make amends, and she just intentionally let it sit there for days, almost like
ignored
it. Screw you. Yeah, to let me know that she was really mad at me.
Wow.
I mean, it was not professional what I did. I shouldn't have been saying that. I didn't use the B word, but it was not great, you know, how I was voicing
my... Oh, you did use the B word?
No. Oh. I did not. I'm saying I didn't do that, but I still was irritated, and I shouldn't have been saying what I said. You and I have had situations, not because Ethan's trying to get at us. Again, Ethan, you look fantastic. Not because he's intentionally trying to have us get a hot mic moment, but... We've had it, Mark, where we don't realize that we're on the air during a commercial break, and somehow our audio is picking up on the social media pages. And yeah. Some of you have written in saying, heads up, we can hear you.
Somebody is pointing out that old Bill O'Reilly clip that went viral for many years where he was screaming at the teleprompter operator because he was trying to tape a tease and he couldn't get it right, and he started screaming at the guy, and then ultimately he goes, all right, blanket, we'll do it live. And that famous clip is still out there somewhere where you can watch it. You know, O'Reilly was the lead anchor. They didn't fire him for that. He didn't get fired for it. He was notorious for his temper. Things were just different back in the day. These days you're hauled into HR over a little bit of nothing.
Yeah.
A little bit of nothing.
No,
it's
true.
You hurt somebody's feelings. And I know of a number of incidents over at Channel 4 where that's happened.
Some guy tried to drag me into HR, and I have, to my knowledge, I have never had an HR issue, ever. I'm not the person who, I'm not the squeaky wheel. I just like to, you know, just do my job and do it well and, you know, get along with everybody. That's kind of my goal. And so one of the Channel 4 photographers was being a little baby and basically didn't want to work and was being lazy, as some of them are.
Yeah.
Not all of them. There are some of them who are incredibly talented and hardworking, but there are some of them, just like reporters, who are lazy. And he told the bosses I was incredibly difficult to work with because I asked him to move the camera about 20 feet. He ended up getting fired, for the record.
I know who that was.
Oh, he got fired. He got a public complaint about him. So yeah. People realized then that it was not me.
Notorious. I'm still shocked that management over there would even have blamed you for that. Guy had a personality disorder. But regardless, you got blamed for it. This is what happens in the corporate world these days. And apparently in television news in Detroit, from what we can tell. Wow. If you haven't seen that clip, by the way, it's all over the internet. You ought to go look for it somewhere on the interwebs this morning. All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be back here in just a minute. There's a young lady, a TPUSA young lady, who is going viral because of some Canadian transplant who freaked out on her in a school gymnasium. You got to hear this story. It's amazing. We'll be right back. Remember when we were talking about Turning Point USA right after Charlie Kirk, right after his assassination, his brutal assassination. And
coming up on a year anniversary,
I know,
by the way.
We are coming up on a year of that.
September 10th.
And one of the things I was so impressed with in the wake of that, out of that tragedy, was the rocket growth of that organization. Chapters were popping up in schools all over the place, mm-hmm. Right? Hundreds of new chapters were popping up with kids who had been driven to take action and form chapters where there had not been chapters before. And I caught this TikTok yesterday at this school where this young lady got a welcome area in the gym for new students to come in and look around, and they had set up their booth there, and they were handing out, of all offensive things you could come up with at TPUSA, let me tell you the shocking thing they were making available to people: red, white, and blue rubber bracelets that said TPUSA on them. So they were America's colors. And they said TPUSA on them. They didn't say anti-LGBTQ. They didn't say anything like that. They just said They just said TP USA on them. And this crackpot approached her son approached a table and wanted one of the bracelets. And he took it, and the girls watched as the mother snatched it away from him and walked back over to the table. And the little boy reached for another one, and apparently she smacked his hand and started screaming at these girls at the top of their lungs. Now, I mean, listen to the young lady explain it, because she can explain it a whole lot better than I can. Sophie Hunt is her name, I believe, here at TPUSA. Listen.
My name is Sophia Hunt, and I'm Turning Point USA's Club America chapter president at Westfield High School in Westfield, Indiana. At our local Rock the Block event last week, it's a back-to-school event, I was working with my Turning Point chapter, my secretary and treasurer, and we were talking to families about what Turning Point was, what it does within our school, and what we stand for in handing out the cutest red, white, and blue bracelets. A little boy came up to our booth, and he tried to grab a bracelet, and I saw a mom come and drag him away. I then looked at her and I said, "Hey, are you okay?" She then immediately responded, "Why the F are you asking me if I'm okay?" I was flabbergasted. I then said, "Your son wanted a bracelet. Here's a bracelet." And she slapped it out of my hand and started cursing at us, screaming at us, and calling people we support racist, homophobic, and disgusting, saying, quote unquote, "You guys are supporting a piece of shh." And I said, "I hope you have a better day." She then stormed off and was still yelling at us in front of parents and children, probably between the ages of 6 and 10. And the crazy part is that she admits it in her own video that she flipped out and that she was seeing red.
Yeah. When she saw TPUSA, it was like waving a red flag in front of a stark, raving, mad bull. And then the woman went on her own video, and she was talking about what was going on here. It's unbelievable. Listen.
Like, I don't know why. I forget what she said exactly, because at that point I was seeing red and everything was out the fucking window at that point. And I turned around and I said, "I don't like the—"
Whoop.
Did you grab that?
Yeah, I got it.
"You guys are supporting that piece of human," talking about Charlie Kirk.
So she lost her mind, right? She's dropping S-bombs and all this stuff in her video. And this woman, of course, it didn't take long for the internet to find out who she is. Her name is Kaylee Stanich. She's a Canadian transplant who lives in Indiana now. She works for Liberty Mutual. Liberty, Liberty, Liberty. Remember those commercials that air all the time? She's like in customer relations or something.
Oh, what a perfect role.
For Liberty Mutual.
Maybe not for long, though.
And now on Libs of TikTok, everybody's showing their correspondence with Liberty Mutual. "Does this woman work for you?" They're sharing all these sound bites with this lady where she said, "Yes, I am attacking a child because she's a racist and a homophobe and she represents TPUSA. And this girl is unfazed by it. I love it. We'll play you some more of it a little later in the show. Stand by for that. But just another stark raving left-wing lunatic in America. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.